Welcome back, everybody. Breakfast with Bob, Boston Marathon Edition. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're presented and hosted by Highlands. Stop your cramp, not your race, by Polar. Check out the Polar Vantage M and the Marathon Edition, and you can perform, workout, energize. We are so honored to have a true legend of running, Mr. Scott Jurek, with us. Scotty, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I mean, I don't know. Am I a legend yet? I mean,
don't you have
to be like really old or like, you know?
No. Seven times Western State champion, running the Appalachian Trail, what, 46 days, 2,189 miles. Hello, McFly. That is like major stuff.
I mean, it's all relative, right?
Yeah.
There's people doing major stuff.
I don't have any relatives doing that.
Okay, well,
none of my relatives do that. No relatives that any of us have.
It's pretty unique.
Scott Jurek.
Yeah, it's pretty unique stuff. But you know, again, I love to explore what my body and my mind can do, and I need to find things that.
Yes.
Not just challenging, but that I'm intrigued about, that I want to try. And that was like the latest thing. And now after, what is it, getting on 4 years, I'm like, okay, I think I could maybe do something else. I've got two kids, so like that's been the latest challenge.
Which is the most important thing you do.
It's a lot right now, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's fascinating to me because you were a runner, right? Cross country, track, that type of stuff. When did you realize that, wait, I don't need to just run in circles. There's something else out there. I can go explore. Running doesn't just have to be, running can be way more. It can be an adventure.
Yeah, for me, I dabbled a little bit track cross country, but it never really.
It didn't resonate with
you. It didn't grab me. And it really was the fact that I started hanging out with, you know, these long-haired hippie types in Duluth, Minnesota. I was a hunting and fishing boy.
Yeah, that's right.
Running wasn't something I enjoyed. In fact, I only did it in high school to stay in shape for cross-country skiing, which I was more of something I was passionate about.
You were really competitive there.
It was fairly competitive, but it was getting on the trails, like my buddy Hippie Dan, running in blue jeans and talking about wheatgrass juice and, you know, whole grain bread. It was people like that, Harry Sloan, you know, former Vietnam vet, like just had been through a lot, and he was doing 100 milers. I would talk about it. These were individuals where I'm like, they just kind of got me excited about it. And then the fact that I grew up hunting and fishing, combining running with being out in the woods, instead of chasing animals or being chased by them, I was just out there running now, and it finally clicked for me. And I think that's where like being open to possibilities was really key too for me.
And you were exploring everything, right, with terms of not just the running, but over time just nutrition and what works best for me, because rather than what the average person is doing, and even though you're a hunter, right, you went away from eating meat because you realized that your body functioned differently.
And it was the reawakening, I guess, of like possibilities with running, but then also food and nutrition and looking at, you know, how can I take care of my body? I wasn't thinking I'm going to find the magic bullet for performance.
No.
It was more, I wanted to avoid chronic disease. I wanted to avoid some of the things I saw in my family and the hospitals I was working at. And so that's when I started reading some books by a gray-haired and bearded doctor, Dr. Andrew Weil, who he was this... Again, somebody where I read his book, I'm like, okay, maybe I should try this vegetarian thing. Maybe I should get rid of the fast food that I've been like putting in my body five times a week, you know, just.
And it's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. And this was something that was challenging. So I think challenging myself to do things not only athletically, but challenging myself to do things from a lifestyle perspective. And that's when I really started looking at health and wellness and fitness as this holistic thing, not just okay, run more miles, you know, pound more into me, challenge myself physically, like what can I do differently and kind of tweak. And I think that's what's allowed me to stay in a career of ultra marathoning for so many years and still love it, still physically be able to do it.
When you look at Western States, right, and when you first started doing Western States, ultra was sort of fringe. Right? Ultra was sort of like people would run, and when they got to the point where they couldn't run a marathon, that they would run a marathon and then they would be in it for a while and realize, okay, I'm not going to get any faster than that. Then they'd step up to the 50K, then 50 mile, then 100 mile. And they weren't really anxious for new people to come in. They didn't want new blood in there. It's like, hey, I almost felt back then that all these people were in witness protection and they really didn't want us to cover them. right? Where I'd go out and cover those races to a competitor, and they'd be like, what are you doing here? Why are you covering this? And I was like, because you guys are sort of on that outside fringe. You're doing stuff that's a little off the edge. And that's, you know, the people who are into that, I was always into the covering them because I thought there's a reason.
Yeah, and they are a real eclectic group of people, and they're also kind of, not all of them, but a lot of them were kind of, they wanted their sport to remain the same. They didn't want people to corrupt it.
No.
Especially, you know, Yahoo like you from
California.
Triathlete.
You'd be shaving
Californian, like
wearing Lycra.
They're
going to
ruin the
bright
sport.
Colors.
Yeah, exactly. And that's,
what the hell?
And that's what is tricky now with the sport. It's going through growing pains.
Yeah.
But back when I was, sure, they didn't want a kid from Minnesota showing up at Western States and winning that.
Yes.
It was a Californian thing. Like, only Mike Morton had cracked that code to go in and win it and be a non-Californian. So for me, I got inspired by the guy like Mike Morton who went in there and cracked the code. And I was also a young guy. It was more of like a 30s, 40-year-olds dominating the sport.
Yeah, you didn't see anybody in their 20s doing that stuff.
And now what I love about it is it's opened up a bit more. You did have some 20-year-olds and such do well. Like Mike was he was in his 20s when he first won Western States. And then you did have some gals that were crushing it too. But in the end, it's been a sport that's been wanting to, like, we want to keep it the same. And I can see why, because now you have to enter these lotteries. Like Western
States,
you can't even get into a race for 5-7 years. But on the other hand, we've exposed the sport to a lot of people. And when you expose something like that, it's a huge gift.
Right.
It has changed the sport in a lot of ways where it does make it harder for people to participate in the iconic events, the bigger events. But at the end of the day, the more people we get out running, the more people we get exposed to what they can do with their bodies and their minds, the world's going to be a better place. And you bring together people of all walks of life. I mean,
absolutely.
We'd love to see more people of color. We'd love to see more diversity in the sport of running, I think, and ultra running. And that's happening gradually. But you look at the numbers for women female participation, it's almost half and half now in ultras. It's getting closer and closer. So I think in general, it's going to be a good thing for society and humankind as a whole, because a lot of these people would never hang out. I mean, you've got doctors, lawyers, CEOs hanging out with, I mean, I had buddies who were
gardeners,
mechanics,
right.
I mean, you name it. And that's when we can bring people together, especially in such a day and age when there's so much division. That's why I get excited about the sport of ultra running is we're bringing these people together. We're suffering together and we're helping each other towards this common goal of getting to a finish line, getting through that next, you know, climb over a mountain. And just breaking some barriers. And then we can do really cool stuff like what you're doing with, like, Challenge Athlete Foundation.
Thank
like,
you.
There's a lot of great nonprofit work happening because of running and endurance and ultra endurance.
It's funny because when we used to do our endurance awards and we'd have the best cyclists and triathletes and ultra runners, what I loved about it was there was this fraternity and sorority of suffering. Mm-hmm. If you were the best ultra guy, you could look at Taylor Finney, the cyclist, and go, I know you suffer for a living just like I do. It's different.
Yep.
But it's still the same. It's still, if you're the best and you're doing endurance, you're suffering for a living.
Definitely.
Right? On a daily and hourly basis. Yep. Talking to you, so we win Western States 7 times and then Badwater. And there can't be two things that different than, even though they're both ultra and they're both long, but you're talking about beautiful, pristine trails. And yes, it's ups and downs and heat and cold. But Badwater, man, it's all pavement. It's like, even though it's Death Valley and it's hot and it's pavement rather than trails. How hard was that adaptation for you to think about 135 miles of pavement?
I mean, it was huge. It was something I had told myself, like, that's what the wackos do. I mean, that's what the really crazy ultra runners do. It's not the fast guys and gals.
Right,
not,
it's a survival.
It's a survival race, even though they said it was the toughest foot race on the planet. But then at some point I started realizing I got to, like, open up my horizons. I wanted to try new things. I wanted to see, okay, let's go see how tough it is.
Yeah.
And I went into it with the mindset of respecting the conditions, respecting traditions of, wearing the pants and wearing the long sleeve shirts.
Right.
Like, all these things that were counterintuitive to me as, like, a top level athlete. You want to be, like, sleek and fast.
Just go.
And go. And it was really cool because it did humble me. It made me respect the conditions. And it was also a race where, again, it's a survival race. And so running at 10-minute pace is even difficult.
Oh,
and you can't keep the fluids down. So it really brought this sense of, like, I could go to road races. I was dabbling in 100K road races. I did some of that traditional part of the sport. But then it got me doing things like Spartathlon. So it was cool that it required a different set of thinking and strategy. But it made me open up my mind to, like, okay, let's maybe go to Spartathlon and just really appreciate the traditions of the sport and the wide range of road events as well as trail events. And that's what I love. Unfortunately, today you don't see people embracing
variety.
24-hour road events. You know, 100K races, for instance, on the road are not as popular. And that's okay, but I'm a believer, like, you got to keep some traditions going, and people should kind of dabble. And
I agree.
That's why you see trail runners bouncing back and forth, because they know the energy here at a race like Boston. I've talked to so many trail runners where, like, oh, yeah, but it's still Boston. Like,
it's still Boston. Even though it's not trail.
As much as they love their trail and they love their mountains, there's energy here, and it's special, too. So I'm a big believer in bouncing around. I can still get enjoyment out of a road run or a road race. And, yeah, there's really something to be had everywhere.
So the challenge you did a few years ago when you decided to run the Appalachian Trail and chronicled in your book North, and you're going for the speed record, it's 50 miles a day for 7 weeks. It's not like 50 miles a day for 3 days, 1 day, 2 days, 7 weeks. And did that turn out to be more challenging than you thought it was going to be?
I mean, I knew it was going to be hard.
Yeah.
Probably the hardest thing I'd probably tackle. And that's probably why I saved it towards the end of my career. I had buddies of mine. They're like, you know, you do something like the Appalachian Trail. Or I was always intrigued with the Run Across America. Like,
yes.
Buddies of mine, like, when it was official race,
yep.
I was just always like, oh, man, my buddy Rob McNair, you probably know.
I know Rob very
Rob
well.
Rob very well, because he's down in Southern California. He was like, Scotty, you run that race, that'll be the last race you do. And I was always intrigued with those multi-day stage events. And guys like he and Horty, my buddy David Horton, they're like, just, you got to wait till you're later. And I'm glad I waited, because I did need a certain level of wisdom, as well as it does something to the body. You don't see people do those events and then run their best 100 miler after.
No. It's,
but even in all of that, in spite of all that, when I was in the throes of running on the Appalachian Trail, and I write about this in North, it took me to places that I could never have imagined, both like high and low. And it was so grueling. The hardest thing was waking up the next morning
and knowing you're running 50 miles,
doing the same thing. Or the hardest thing the night before, I mean, talk about just a total mind warp, was finishing a day feeling so psyched that I got through what I needed to get through, even though there was low points.
Yeah.
I'd get to the van, have this like half hour of just, oh yeah, that was awesome. You know, we're making progress. We're getting to the next state, or we're like crossing some landmark. And then right away the next hour, I'd be thinking to myself, I'm waking up in 6 hours or less and I'm doing the same thing.
Groundhog day.
And that's like the hardest thing mentally, to get fired up, because you got to fire yourself up. Not 2 weeks later, you know, 5 months later, 4 months later when you do your next race. You're doing that every day.
Yeah.
There's no like time to, like, I don't know, just rest in the fact, like, hey, I just accomplished something. Because, like,
you can't savor the accomplishment, because basically you're going, this is so great. I've done a week of this. This is awesome. And then I've got six more to go.
Exactly.
Right?
So
I'm halfway. Oh, my God, I got halfway. I still got 3.5 weeks to do.
Each day becomes like, you got to look at it in pieces. You got to look at it with micro goals. And there were days where I was like, how am I going to get through this? And, you know, why am I doing, like, the why kept coming in all the time. And I write about this in North, how the why is so critical, but it can be a destroyer of just morale and just like motivation. And that's what I love about it. Like, I can talk about it now, is like, that was so bad, and yet that was so awesome.
Was it hard? Were you trying to write every day when because you want to chronicle this, but you're so wiped after every day.
There was zero writing.
So you didn't even...
Just because, I'm so wiped.
You're wiped.
I didn't have energy. Like, maybe I could have voice recorded some things.
Yeah. But so you had to go all by memory.
All by memory. And Jenny I luckily have great memories. She actually co-wrote the book with me from her side and angle, which is a lot of fun for those people who have a significant other, a partner, friend who supports them and crews for them, because that piece was so critical. But we have good memories, but because the most important things were burned into, I mean, I could take myself and go right back to those moments when I was at my lowest of lows or I was at my highest of highs.
Yeah.
And it was really easy with like photos, some video that was captured, and just put myself right back there. When we were in the middle of it, we thought, this is going to be so hard now to go back. And my buddy Horty was like, you got to start writing things. The day I finished, you got to start writing things down. And I was like, I just need to like let this simmer right now.
You got to decompress.
Yeah. But
how long
everyone's
did you,
different.
Yeah. How long did you decompress before you started writing? Because you got to be thinking, oh my God, am I going to be able to remember it all?
It was a couple months, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it came right back.
It came right back because the most important things. Like, sure, we wish we had everything chronicled. There were times where, like, what was that trail name of that individual who helped us or did something? We lost some of those details that we had to dig up. And we did some interviews with friends. We looked at photos, videos. And then luckily, Jenny actually had the trail data book, which has the mileage, the road crossing. She highlighted like where I stopped, roughly. Sometimes she'd write a time when I was expected. So we kind of had some of that. So we knew the days, the times, the distances, and the names of locations.
Sure.
So that stuff, at least, we didn't have to regurgitate. But outside of that, it was tricky.
Have you thought about doing a movie on North?
I mean, it's interesting you ask about that.
Because I think it'll be phenomenal.
We've had some people say this would be a great Hollywood film some kind of, because we try to write, the book is not just this running journey, this hiking, through hike struggle. There's a lot of elements to the story. And so we've thought about it, and we actually have had a few people interested in, and we like want to do it right. And
it's
so
gotta be right, yeah.
Potentially, like, but we also know too, the struggles of getting a film made.
Expense,
like headaches. I mean, Born to Run is still
in
the works.
And
so it's interesting. But I think it would make a great story to inspire people to get out and challenge themselves, whatever that might be. Not just because, it's my story and I find it interesting.
Yeah.
I think there's potential there. Whereas Eat and Run was a memoir.
Yes.
I don't think it was like a film-worthy story. But North has that other element, I think, that could be,
totally
be
does.
Great. Yeah.
After Born to Run came out, how did your life change? All of a sudden, here's this best-selling book, and you're showcased in it. Did it?
I actually didn't read it for a long time. I know it sounds
really
weird. Like,
no,
a lot of people
would
be like, I want to read stuff about myself. Yeah. Like, I kind of got to a point in my career where I didn't read all the articles all the time.
Right.
I read little pieces, make sure I wasn't represented poorly or incorrectly. But I was just like, gosh, he wrote this book. Like, he went down there. Like, how is that going to be interesting? And then when I finally did read it, I'm like, Chris is a great storyteller, and he was able to convey some trip that we had done as like a vacation in a way, or just kind of like exploratory, like adventure, and turn it into this book. And it inspired, I think, generations of runners.
No question.
I meet people here at the expo. This girl's 8 years old when she first read it.
Isn't that funny?
And like, I'm getting really old. Because
isn't that the worst?
And now now she's here running her first Boston kind of thing. And so it's neat seeing that that kind of thing. As far as like my life, it definitely brought more attention to the sport and to what I was doing in my career. And I didn't think about it at first. But then when you see the people, whether they've gotten off the couch for the first time, lost 150 pounds, you hear the stories over and again. You know, it's touched millions of people's lives.
It's
pretty cool, and it definitely has helped me. It forced me to write a book finally, because I put it off for so long, and people are like, no, you got to write a book too to tell the rest of that story that just was chronicled in a chapter.
Yes.
So there were a lot of great things that happened out of it. And again, some people grumble because it changed our sport. For me, it definitely brought another audience, and it brought people out to do things that I found value in, running long distances in the woods, in the mountains, and they wanted to do it too. And I think the world is a better place because of that. The more people we can get out moving their bodies, getting out in these special places, the more people around protecting them and taking care of their own bodies, like that's not a bad thing.
No.
So
the power of sport is totally underestimated.
Definitely. I don't think I became super famous. I'm just psyched that, again, that
power of sport
and
it's changing people's lives are better.
Definitely.
Right?
And there are a lot of good things
can around
come
out nutritionally, and they feel good about themselves and accomplish what they want to do. And if sport plays a role, that's
exactly.
Awesome.
I mean, that's why we have 30 some thousand people who are going to line up tomorrow at this event. And there's an energy here, whether you're running or not running.
Doesn't matter.
It's something you can't replicate at many places.
And like you mentioned, it doesn't matter if you were a billionaire or if you're working as a janitor. When you come across that finish line here in Boston or so many other races, it's cathartic. It changes people's lives for the better.
Definitely. And, you say never again. And then what happens? Like, you end up doing it again
I can go faster.
Or it's like, that was horrible, but it was also amazing. And they're like, I want to go back and do that. Sometimes it takes a few weeks or a day or two. But
if you don't have that horrible part in there, sometimes it isn't quite that amazing. You sort of need that. God, I didn't think I was going to get the starting line. It was cold. It was damp. But next thing you know, you overcome in a small period of time. You do a longer period of time, but a small period of time, you get past do I really feel like getting up? I know I've got a little head cold. And then next thing you know, you're accomplishing something amazing.
Exactly.
And that's all within a span of a few hours or a few days.
Definitely. And that's where anybody can experience that. You can experience that the first time. Again, you lace up your shoes, you get out the door, and you walk and run because you can't fully run because you're not in good shape or your body won't let you do that. And going out around the block, or it's 10 blocks or a mile that first time, like, again, it can be so horrible, but something happens along the way, and that's the magic. And
love it.
There's beauty in the suffering. There's beauty in, it's great when things go right, but all the things that I remember in my life and my career are the times when everything was falling apart, and I didn't think I could get back up. I mean, Badwater is a great example. Mile 80, I thought it was all done. I was, puking my guts out. There was no way, and I got back out on the course, walking a little bit, then running, and then I set a course record. Now, in a 135-mile race, you can totally change your destiny.
Right.
In a marathon, half marathon, 5K, 10K, that's a little harder to do because it's over and done with so quickly. But there's a lot of opportunity for turnarounds and getting through things, and even if you don't get your goal, something happens out there. And you can't pay for that. You can't do it unless you put yourself in the hurt locker in that situation. And most people, we all want to avoid it at some degree, but then someday we finally say, you know what, I'm going to go there.
I'm going to go past that little edge and see what happens.
Exactly.
Put my toe in. So you're still traveling around the country doing signings with North?
I'm still doing it. It came out in paperback just a few days ago,
Tuesday.
Perfect. So I'm doing a little bit of that right now. And I get around the country, around the world. I was over in Poland and Bulgaria, actually. The North was translated into Polish and Bulgarian. Yeah. And getting out and around. We have two kids now, so we're not getting out as much. But we always talk about loading up Castle Black, the van that we had on the Appalachian Trail, and getting out to the Appalachian Trail area and just kind of start doing like a book tour by van.
That's a great
idea.
And
get out to some of the areas of the Midwest that I haven't made it out. A lot of fans from Ohio here today that were telling me, like, you got to get to Cincinnati, you got to get to Cleveland and Columbus. And we'd like to do that. So this summer we're probably going to do some more touring, but I love getting out and around and doing stuff like at events like this. So definitely can't just stay home. That's for sure.
Scotty, thanks as always for taking time. It's always such a pleasure to talk
with
you.
It's an honor to always talk with you, and love what you guys are doing too. Keep up the great work at Challenge Athlete Foundation.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Yeah. Scott Jurek has been our guest again. Breakfast with Bob, Boston Marathon Edition. Hold on, everybody. We will be right back.